Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 16 of season 4. This one is called Galaxy's Child. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe. The teleplay goes to our old friend Maurice Hurley, and the story credit goes to Thomas Kartosian. It aired back on March 11, 1991. In this episode, Chief Engineer Geordi LaForge is thrilled when Dr. Leah Brahms comes aboard the Enterprise. Unfortunately, Brahms is nothing like the idealized holographic version LaForge fell in love with a year earlier. Clay is here to talk about this one with us. It's creepy Geordi, he's back, and Maurice Hurley is back with the script. So, right after this break, me and Clay are going to go deep on Galaxy's Child.
It seems that the exemplary nature of your work has caught the attention of Starfleet Command. In fact, someone is coming on board just to see the engine modifications you've made.
Who, Captain?
The senior design engineer at the Theoretical Propulsion Group, Dr. Leah Brahms.
Leah is coming here. Whew. Well, this is terrific.
It is?
Well, I mean, I've studied her schematics for years. She was responsible for a lot of the engine design on the Enterprise.
Well, it should be a very enjoyable visit, then. She'll be transporting on board as soon as we reach the starbase.
Clay, I'm sure you were glad to see the return of our old friend Maurice Hurley for this one.
I saw his name in the credits, yes.
He wrote the script for Galaxy's Child, which me and Clay are going to talk about starting now. Did you watch the original Leah Brahms episode?
I did not.
Okay. Do you are you familiar with that episode?
Once he started talking about what happened, I was like, oh, okay. She's talking about the one where he falls in love with the hologram.
Yep. That's
which I wish that I had known what this episode was about before I watched it, because I would have suggested we get Tanner on for this one, because I bet she has a lot to say about this.
Yeah, this is a fascinating episode, I think, in a lot of ways. I don't want to ruin the what I think about at the end here, but let's see. What do I want to say? I mean, this is basically creepy Geordi at like his apex.
He's basically Facebook stalking a woman.
Yes, in a way that he's Facebook stalking a woman who puts all of her interests into her interests category. Like there's a. He knows everything about her. He does a terrible job of disguising the fact that he's stalking her in
right.
this way. And the scene where she walks in on the hologram, they wrote that scene as to make it seem like Geordi was in there fucking that hologram. Like there's no other way to interpret that. Where the line where she's like, Geordi, when you touch the ship, you're touching me. It's like,
yeah.
what the hell is going on? Like, I don't know. Let me know. I've been talking enough. Let me know what you thought about this episode.
Okay. Well, to get away from the Geordi stuff for a second, I thought the B story was really good. I really enjoyed Picard having to deal with the idea that he just accidentally killed this thing that he had no intention of even dealing with.
I think it's a great subtle Picard episode.
Yeah,
he doesn't
oh,
have
yeah.
a lot to do, but you really get a lot of characterization from him and how
yeah.
he processes what he's done.
Yeah, I thought he was really great. I thought that whole concept, as soon as they shot that thing and it died, and he and you know you see his face drop, I was like, oh shit, this is actually really interesting. This is stuff that I, you know, this is a concept that I'm curious about that I would like to see them deal with.
Yep.
The Geordi stuff, man. I mean. The thing about the Geordi stuff that is really creepy is how much of an analog it is for a lot of stuff that people do now.
Yes, that's a good point. In a way that the show is not critical of it. To me, like I'll just say this before you go back to your point. The creepiest thing about this episode to me is that Geordi somehow successfully turns the tables on her.
in a way that makes no goddamn sense. Because
it's absolutely ridiculous.
What he's done is he's like, you think, well, I'm a bad person. He's like, you don't want to be my friend. And that makes her upset. And it's like, Geordi, you're like emotionally manipulating this woman who you've been stalking and apparently having sex with her holographic image on the holodeck. Like, it's such a weird turn at the end there that what happens with it.
Yeah, I coincidentally, last night I was reading a Reddit thread that was all about Tinder nightmares.
Yes, I saw that.
And, yeah, and that was fresh in my mind. So when I started watching this, I was like, oh my God, this is so prescient to the way that people relate to each other now. It's like knowing someone purely through Facebook and then just totally creeping on them when you meet them in real life. It's just so weird.
It is. His unsubtlety is so bizarre. Like the... And the fact that he doesn't sort of he's like in a delusional bubble enough to not realize that she's married, which is, you know, I feel like that would be the first thing you check on a personnel record.
Hey man, that's why you got to put your relationship status on your Facebook profile.
That's right. It's just
so those guys that you went to high school with who are now, you know, depressingly single, when they find you on there, they know, you know, where to draw the line.
They know exactly where the line is to be drawn. They're not going to invite you over. Put on their finest crushed velvet sweatshirt and
their sweet futuristic Cosby sweater.
I went into this episode thinking it was much worse than it is. It's the Geordi stuff is terrible, but I do think that the alien life form stuff is pretty good in and of itself. It's continuing a trend which has happened in the fourth season where the B plots are sometimes now more interesting than the A plots are.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes I feel the A plot at this point in the show's history is always focusing on personalization of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work for Troy a lot of the time. Geordi is just so fucked up that none of this really matters. And it's weird because Geordi is pretty competent in every episode except for the ones where they put him in relationship issues.
You know what that means? That means he's a poorly written character.
Yes, that's the writers are clinging to the one thing that we know about him, and they just keep going back to that.
Yeah, everybody else has kind of found their niche or they've found the groove for writing them, but Geordi is just they can't really get out of just having him be this technobabble guy.
Yes,
or you know what? Honestly, if they wanted to go this route and just embrace it and be like, that's just his thing. I mean, this is like if they wanted to go down this path and really examine it, because why not examine someone who's on a starship, completely engrossed in their work, has no idea how to relate to people.
Right.
You know, and actually explore that instead. You know, I mean, his best friend is fucking Data.
Right.
You know, he doesn't – when does he ever even interact with anybody else really?
Well, it's funny you say that because what they did – it goes into – we talked about this in the last episode, how sometimes – the serials or the nuns, but the sort of continuing characters that you have to do through seven episodes of a show, right?
Yeah.
They gave that story to Barclay in Hollow Pursuits, right? That's the
right.
That's
yeah.
Basically Geordi's character fault on another right. character. And so the show in that case decided this is a trait worth spinning off into another character as opposed to fleshing out a current character because it would. If you gave Geordi that Barclay storyline, it's a bit too weird at
that
point.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Even though you can see, like, I could see from this episode, I could totally understand Geordi doing that, like creating people he knows on the holodeck.
Right.
It doesn't seem out of line.
Yeah. What's the strangest thing about this is in, at least in that episode, they made a comment on it. Whereas in this one, if you're going purely by the way everything plays out, it's Geordi gets in trouble for thinking he knew someone who he doesn't really know, but then it gets like he doesn't have to deal with it because the person who gets pissed off at him for being a creep ends up being like, you know, I'm sorry, we got off on the wrong foot.
Yep.
I should have told you, or someone should have told you I was married. I know you're just making the... It's like, it's really weird. The ending is really, really strange.
It is. It's her forgiveness of him is bizarre. his emotional manipulation of that scene where he starts flipping out and is like, I just wanted to be your friend. Why are you doing this to me? That is crazy manipulation on his part. I mean, it's also, the setup is kind of funny because is Picard trolling him at the start of this episode? Because Picard walked in on him in, if you haven't seen the other episode, when he's doing the thing with the hologram with Brahms, like in the actual episode where she's just a hologram.
Yeah.
Picard walks in on him and gives him a look like, what the fuck is going on in this holodeck? So it's weird for him to open up this one by saying like, hey, Geordi, you know who's coming on the ship? Leah Brahms. What do you think about that, buddy? What do you think about that? It's a weird little callback because people are vaguely familiar of what happened
right
in that episode because Geordi spends the conversation with Guinan talking about it.
Well, I think the idea is fantastic. I think I'm surprised that they did this because it is dealing with like deep cut continuity that a show like this is not really, at this time anyway, is not really prone to do.
Yep.
And it's a great idea to expand on, to be like, well, he fell in love with the holodeck version of this person. Well, what happens when he meets the real person? It's a really interesting idea.
Yes, yep.
But yeah, I don't think they really committed to exploring this as a concept because they just fuck off at the end of this episode.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I think this is the... No, maybe that's not true. I was going to say this is the first time we've seen a space-born creature, but that's not true. The crystalline entity, I'd assume, is space-born.
Yeah.
So what'd you think of the space raviolis, as they're affectionately termed?
Space pierogi?
Space pierogis, yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, are you talking like specifically about the alien itself?
Well,
or the story.
What's kind of surprising to me about the story is I haven't seen this one in a while. I was kind of surprised that the alien only becomes a problem in like the last 10 minutes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the alien being stuck to the ship for a much longer period of time, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And that storyline is also kind of a throwaway because I wrote in my notes. Nothing makes for lamer drama than just a character counting down an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm inverting the energy field.
Yeah.
Negative 10, negative 12. And it's like, it's like, all right, this doesn't mean anything.
Or the other thing I can't stand that they do a lot on these shows, sometimes you can pull it off if it's an idea that's easily comprehensible.
Right.
Or if it makes sense for the characters to do this. I can't stand it when you have these two characters and one of them comes up with a solution that's something that no one can relate to. And then halfway through the explanation, the other one goes, that's genius, and finishes the explanation.
Yes. They
it's like,
just,
all right, whatever, guys.
They need the jumping off point for the other person to go, oh, clearly this is the answer as to what
you know what?
To do.
I was wrong about you. You're really smart and not a total creep. I'm married. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. My husband is called. And
I'm really sorry that I'm married, though. I apologize. I should have told you right away. I should have handed you a pamphlet when I got off the thing. I'm sorry.
It's all my fault. It's my fault. I like the idea of the alien thing, like the souring the milk. It's kind of a clever. The amount of like birth talk kind of made me uneasy a little bit in a weird way. Like I don't like Crusher talking about cesarean sections and them talking about giving birth and things. It made me vaguely uncomfortable, but that's my own insecurity.
I just thought it was really funny. Also, Crusher's hair looks great in this episode again.
She's killing it.
Clearly, the time she's not spending on set, she's spending getting her hair done.
Is this one of the only episodes I think where Crusher gets a joke?
What is her joke?
Her joke is it's a baby something.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's barely a joke, but it's like it's the only... I can't think of, you know, a lot of episodes where she has a line like that. That's kind of...
What about Guinan's sick burn where she's like, oh, you sure you weren't wearing your other visor? My other visor, you know, the one where you that lets you see things the way you want to see them. It's like, oh. As my friend Dan would say, that's a long way to go for a ham sandwich.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's another episode of Guinan doing Troy.
Past two episodes, Troy has done nothing.
No.
Troy is like, I mean, at least at least in previous episodes where they encounter something like this, you have Troy there to be like, I can sense that it's uncomfortable. She doesn't say a damn thing in this episode.
Nope, she does
not.
And
in the last one, she does a little bit of talking, but it's not anything that literally anybody else couldn't do.
No, in First Contact, she's basically Picard's secretary or his introduction to another species or whatever.
But just to finish your question about or the point about the birth stuff, I thought it was really interesting and kind of funny how she does all of that talk about, you know, the cesarean section, and then the actual execution of that is just
yeah.
Like they just blast him like in a half moon shape. It's like, well, that's it. As far as I know, that's all a cesarean section is.
I was a little surprised at the ease with which they killed the alien.
Well, I think that's part of the point, though.
Just the delicacy of it. You never know.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Because the aliens seem to be capable of putting out a great deal of punishment to other things.
Yeah. You know, I think it's the the sci-fi deep space version of, you know, a kid who accidentally kills a bird or something. You know what I mean? Where they try to do something helpful and they end up accidentally killing it, or, you know, they take their new BB gun out and they have to deal with killing an innocent creature.
Right,
you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, then don't realize their own strength or whatever.
Yeah, because, I mean, they go out of their way. Picard goes out of his way to say phasers on, you know, minimum setting or something.
Yes, yeah. It was just an unfortunate, unfortunate turn of events for them.
But I like that setup because, I mean, it begs the question, well, what else was he supposed to do?
Right.
You know? I mean, the ship's getting blasted. He's got to do something.
Yep. They can't run away. The thing has stopped them from running. It's just that's all you can hope for, basically, is to take him out. It's I like that little creature. He's affectionately known as Junior. Data gets a joke about is that the official name. I do like Picard when he has no patience for Data asking questions about things like that. Just no, it is not. And then everyone sort of laughs at Data. Poor Data. And outside of that, I mean, yeah, it's really, I was struck by, as we mentioned before, it's a Maurice Hurley script. He wrote this one. In some ways, the pacing feels like a early season episode. The conflict appearing right at the end and then the easy resolution.
Oh, yeah. I guess, honestly, it's been so long since I've watched the early ones, I can't really tell you.
Can't pin them down, yeah.
Unless they end up on a planet where all the men are held under their thumb by the giant pierogi creatures that are at least metaphor for something awful. I don't know.
It's weird that he came back. It's weird to see his name on this script. I always like Maurice Hurley, especially from the
he was great
when we watched that documentary.
Yeah.
he's very funny, but I do think his writing style is a bit pre this show where it is at this point. Which is a shame. I like that episode. The creepy Geordi is a little bit weird. This might be the first time we see a Jeffrey's tube. I might be wrong about that, where they're crawling through the little tunnel, and she's like, what is this thing that you've attached to my warp engine?
Right.
Might be the first time we've seen that.
I really liked, after the creepiness factor of the holodeck scene, I really liked when she starts yelling at him about it.
Yep.
Because she addresses it in a way that I remember, I think, during that other episode with the other character who does the same thing.
Barclay?
Yes.
Holopursuits,
yeah. Yeah, we were talking about similar stuff, about, like, is it ethical or inethical to create holodeck versions of people on the crew, people of the crew and stuff like that.
Yep.
And she kind of gets into that a little bit and really reacts to it in a way that I wish some of them had in the other episode.
I was kind of, in the previous episode, I kind of didn't have a big problem with people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Geordi does is like the worst case scenario for it. And it's like, I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about it, but definitely the worst case scenario is a bad case scenario in these situations.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept because, I mean, like, if you compare the two of them, what situation is worse? If you're using people on the crew in a fantasy analog where you're just kind of, I mean, nothing, the way that he presented like Crusher and Troy or whoever is in no way near what they were like in real life. And it's to a farcical degree.
Yes. Right.
But what Geordi's doing, and I guess it's not entirely fair to criticize this part because he doesn't know her as a person. Maybe it's worse. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the weird thing to me is that Barclay's fantasies didn't seem sexual in any way.
Right.
And for some reason, Geordi's being super sexual makes it much more worse.
Yeah. Well, in the Barclay episode, does he... Do they ever, I can't remember, do they ever address his attitudes towards those crew members outside of the holodeck? Like, is he ever, do they ever have a scene where he's, like, talking to Crusher and he's, like, staring at her boobs?
No,
or something?
No, he's nebbish around everybody, but yeah. he doesn't have any sort of, like...
Oh, that's right, yeah, because it was all about him, like, being more confident in the holodeck, yeah.
Well, we kind of laughed about how the fact that Troy is a counselor and she pins a man who's sexually attracted to her, and, is, you know, she has that scene where she's doing therapy with him, and she's like, tell me what you feel about it. That was the only weird section, but he's still so... He's so not prone to... Barclay is not prone to act on that kind of stuff.
Right.
So the holodeck kind of gets away with it because it's like, oh, none of this is really real. Where Geordi's is totally the opposite.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because what he's doing is he's not altering... Somewhat like what I'm trying to get my mind around is what he did worse if he knows her, you know what I mean?
Like,
if
he's
since basically she's just a you know, a manic pixie dream girl kind of thing, and that he's creating to facilitate his own whatever, and she's just sort of like a shell for that. Is it worse that he's picking someone he doesn't know than if he did know her and then changed her attitude to fit what he wanted?
Yeah, that's true as well. It's also,
I mean, I'm not making a point. I'm sort of asking a question. Like, I'm not sure which one is worse.
Well, I think
the thing that makes it so creepy in this one is that he's actively imprinting the stuff that he create, or he's actively imprinting the stuff that he took from the holodeck version onto the real version, and is pissed off when they don't line up.
Yes, that's true. I think that's what he's doing is sort of more unstable than what Barclay's doing, because Barclay at least recognizes that the holodeck is not real.
Right.
You know, where Geordi is taking the holodeck and thinking it's a real representation of this person.
Right.
So
to be fair, though, I mean, well, I hate to say to be fair because this whole thing's pretty fucking creepy. But to be fair, though, he's not given any reason to expect her to be different.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that does he get a break just because the computer did not do a good job of creating her personality?
I don't think so, because, you know, again, it's like if you only talk to someone over, he basically got catfished by the Enterprise.
Yep.
And like, it's that sort of situation where it's like, if you think that you know someone only through text messaging, and then you meet that person and they're completely different, you don't really have... I mean, you can't really get mad about it, or you can't get pissed off, and it's a fascinating concept.
It's not their fault.
He needs to recognize it's not their fault.
And what's fucked up about the episode is he makes it her fault at the very end, which is probably the most misogynistic thing the show has ever done.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's a real awkward. It takes a... I don't know if she's a strong woman, because the problem here, she's not a Shelby character, right? She's not from the Best of Both Worlds. She's not a strong woman. She is kind of bitchy to him over stuff that you kind of would be like, you know, it's like, it's true. It's like, you're not out here doing, you know, space travel. Sometimes we have to jimmy these little things to make everything work.
Yeah. Well, I think... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was pretty much done. That's it.
Well, I was just going to say, I think what they were trying to do is I think that they were trying to present both of them as having to deal with misconceptions about the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where she thinks that he's just a moron who's changing... But I don't really think that comes across very well, because you're only seeing a lot of it through Geordi and his reactions, where, you know, they meet the first time, you can see he's clearly disappointed about it, and then the next scene is them, like, literally yelling at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not about... And it's more her just being bitchy towards him than it is her misunderstanding stuff. You know, she's just getting uptight about changes that were made to her design.
Would we have benefited from... It would have ruined the surprise, but I don't really consider it much of a surprise. What if there was a scene where she talks to her husband about the changes, you know, like over a sort of like a communication in her quarters or whatever, yeah. He's on a screen. And mm-hmm. So you establish that she has a husband. Geordi doesn't realize that at that point.
Right.
But you can also develop her as being like her misunderstanding what Geordi is doing. You know, mm-hmm. Like you were saying, like you'd kind of give a little bit of depth to their conflict, which is seriously lacking because we are conditioned to be on Geordi's side through these things.
Yeah. Like, I think there needed to be something. You needed to have a little bit more point of view from her end to really get that across. Because even the point, I mean, maybe it's context that's better understood if I had seen the other episode. But even when she's in the holodeck with, she's still pissed off about the program being of her like theoretical engine room or something.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And it's like that on top of the fact that he was making a creepo version of her. So, like, I don't know. She is not drawn well enough to accomplish what I think they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she comes off as a bitch. He comes off as a total creepo. And then at the end, like, she comes off as a bitch who's wrong.
Yes, yep.
He comes off as a creepo who is never really shown... He never admits, really, that he was that wrong.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, they're even joking about it afterwards, and she's like, I can't believe they didn't tell you I had a husband. And he's like, I know, right?
I couldn't believe her take on the scene where she's like, that's my husband. She delivers that line like she's seriously considering leaving her husband for this engineer who has been...
Yeah.
It's a weird take on that. It's just such a strange... There should have been – they needed – it's not in the tone of the show, but they needed a residual uncomfortableness or something mm-hmm. at the end to make this all sort of at least attempt to end out correctly. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. The I don't really know what else to say about it, but it's just like it's such a swing and a miss.
Yes.
Like yeah. So hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
But. No, I think we've pretty much covered that one. It's a very strange episode. So we're going to go to final thoughts, final ratings. I'm going to take a break. I'll play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back and give our rating, give our final thoughts.
I understand.
No, you don't. It's not the way this may look.
I called up a replay of the program file. I was all ready to compliment you again, Commander, for constructing a program which contained the prototype engine. So that you would always have a baseline reference for your modifications. And now I find that it's all about a fantasy plaything.
It's not like that. I swear.
I'm outraged by this. I have been invaded, violated. How dare you use me like this? How far did it go, anyway? Was it good for you?
Nothing like that happened. It was a professional collaboration.
Oh, I can tell. Every time you're touching the engine, you're touching me, real professional.
Look, if you watched the whole program, you saw what it was. We were working together to solve a problem in a crisis situation.
How do I know how far it went? How many other programs did you create? Perhaps dozens of them, one for every day of the week, one for every mood.
All right, look. Ever since you came on board, you've been badgering me, and I've taken it. I've shown you courtesy and respect and a hell of a lot of patience. Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. I've tried to understand you. I've tried to get along with you. And in return, you accused, tried, and convicted me without even bothering to hear my side of it. So I'm guilty, okay? But not of what you think. Of something much worse. I'm guilty of reaching out to you. Of hoping we could connect.
Galaxy's Child. I kind of like the title of this episode.
That's not... Well, what I was actually going to say earlier, when you were talking about the B story being more important or better than the A story, it's arguable which one is which, because Galaxy Child clearly is a reference to the B story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not Geordi's Day Out or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. It doesn't tie into... Yeah, it's not Geordi's fantasy or whatever, fantasy life. Yeah, clearly... the raviolis are more of a memorable sort of invention for this one, and they clearly get top billing in the title anyway. Mm. Galaxy's Child. This episode is generally reviled.
Interesting. Okay.
I think it's bad, but it's not all bad.
Mm.
It might just be the show getting... Like we were saying, the show swing and a miss on the Geordi storyline. The Geordi storyline here is like an abomination of a story.
Yeah.
The other stuff is pretty good in a sort of soft kind of way, like an harmless kind of way. There's not a huge amount of conflict in it. I think there's something here. This is a 2 out of 5 for me. It's strong enough to sort of exist, and it has some ideas that it wants to go into, but it is not an average episode of the show just because the Geordi creepiness is bizarre here.
I'm going to say something that I might get a lot of flack, but let me explain myself.
Sure.
I'm going to give this a 4 with an asterisk.
Okay.
Because I think this is an ultimate example of me choosing rating based on concept over execution.
Yep.
Because I think the stuff they do in this episode is really interesting. And on top of that, it's such a swing and a miss. They miss so hard.
Yeah.
Like, they deal with... They bring up a lot of questions in the Geordi stuff that I find interesting, but the fact that it's so poorly executed and... Or it's not... I don't even know if the execution is poor, but, like, the fact that they bring up these questions and are too afraid to even address them the way that they want to...
Yes, I think that's the case, yeah.
I feel like this is an episode you should see.
Right, this is the potential of what might be out there.
Yeah, because it's like the stuff with the pierogi thing is pretty good. It's like I said, it's dealing with a concept that I feel like they haven't really touched on much, in as far as, you know, killing something by accident. In that great line that Picard has, where he's like, "We're supposed to be on an exploration. We're not supposed to be killers."
Yep.
That's really good. And how they deal with that is really good. Like when it starts sucking on the ship, and he just lets it go,
even though
it could destroy the ship. I mean, it's a really good Picard episode. But the Geordi stuff is just so heinously bad.
Yeah.
Not in execution, but just in what they're having this character do and the way it resolves, that I would say you should definitely watch this episode. Because there's a lot to talk about, and it's very fascinating. I wouldn't say it's good, necessarily, but I would say it's definitely you should see it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would also agree with the... it's not an execution. It's the fact that it went... It's as Breaking Bad would say, it took a half measure when it should have gone all the way.
Yeah.
They should have called this episode half measure. It's just they don't... They bring up something. It's almost like they bring it up and then they realize they're like, oh, fuck. Like, we have to get out. Like, this is not an area that we want to be in. Have it resolve quickly. And it does. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Galaxy's Child. Weird. Anyway, Clay, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, anytime.
Guys, if you enjoyed...
And if I'm not here next time, it's your fault, not mine. even though I said that I didn't want to be... I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you get it.
I created a podcast version of Clay, and I'm just molding it into what I really expect him to be like. I'm disappointed with the real thing. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube, a like and a comment. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. That's it. It's good to be back in the saddle. My New Year's resolution is to finish the fucking podcast, so I'm going to try to stick to my guns about
Jesus. About serious?
About getting this thing done. We need to do two a week. I need to do two a week. I need to get out, and I need to finish strong here.
You need to get out of your house, you mean?
That's true, too. Jesus. Everyone, don't do this. Don't do it. But guys, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate all the comments. The comments have picked up recently on YouTube. I appreciate it. Everyone's been very kind. Very nice, very good things to say, great additions that I never thought of in the first place, and it's been a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. I hope you all have a very nice 2016. Clay, to you as well.
Thank you. You back to you.
Go out with a bang for 2015. Have a good New Year's. See ya.
Stay out of the holiday.